Hello everyone, welcome to the session of Markets Monday. As usual, every Monday we sit down and we discuss about various issues that are making markets headlines towards markets. My name is Felix Ucheng, as usual, your host for the day. During today's session, we'll definitely be looking onto a few things. First of all, we'll be looking onto how the markets performed last week. At the same time, we're also going to be looking onto how we are possibly supposed to expect the effect of various taxes that are coming in on the stock market. We've seen that we have the environmental tax come into place, and I know that is something that definitely we are all wondering how that will be able to affect some of the companies that we have, mostly the companies that are in the real estate segment, and also a few companies that are directly or indirectly related to some of these companies. Also, on today's session, we'll definitely be looking onto Safaricom, which has picked up and has declared that they would be able to hold their AGM in a few weeks' time, about 3 weeks from now. That's on 30th of July. It will be conducted online, and that would be on a few very important businesses. I know that's something that we are going to be able to look into. There's the usual ordinary business that is on the AGM, but also there is the special business during Safaricom's AGM, which we're also going to be looking onto as we go through discussing on today's session. Also on the forefront, we'll definitely be looking and telling you why Nairobi Business Ventures has continued to rally. And also we'll be telling you about Jubilee Holdings. That's Jubilee. There's material announcement which came from the company, the shareholders last week. We're also going to be looking onto TPS Eastern Africa. That's the company that owns the Serena brand, the Serena hotels and everything. Apart from Serena Williams. So definitely we'll be looking into that as well. We've also been trying to get a little bit of updates on the performance of Crown. And I know that we are definitely going to look and just figure out from which level it's going to be able, you're going to be able to engage on these levels from. To start you guys off on how last week the market performed, we saw a little bit of a decline, something that was expected, sort of like a pushback from the performance of the stock market in the previous week. We saw the All Share Index come down about 0.41 points, that's about 0.24%, to close the week at about 171.21 basis points. At the same time, we saw the 25 and the 20 share index technically on the gain. Over the past few weeks, the trend that we've been seeing is that the NASE and the NSE 25 would always be on the gain on one side and the NSE 20 would be on the decline. But today we're seeing a very different trend for the first time, where for the first time, I think, in the past 4 or 5 months, where we're seeing the NSE 20 and the NSE 25 shedding while NASE is gaining. The main reason why NASE might have declined, and just in case you're wondering what NASE is, that's the All Share Index. So the All Share Index is usually used as a benchmark of the overall performance of the market. And what really happens is when the overall performance of the market is on the decline, well, a few stocks might be on the gain, but the overall performance of the market could actually be on the decline. This is in terms of market activity, in terms of volumes traded, in terms of the closing prices for various stocks, the total market capitalization. So it's not only just one aspect that you look at when you're investing. If we had an index fund and we had NASE to invest in, there would be a lot of other segments and a lot of other sectors that you would look into before you pick this up. So starting this first off, NASE, generally, on the NSE, we saw the gainers. Nairobi Business Ventures continued the gaining spree. And I know that you're probably wondering, so if you bought NBV on Monday last week when you were having this show, today it's probably, you'd probably be up about 44% in terms of market trades. So probably that's one catch that we might have missed on. As an investor, once again, I would always encourage you to try and get your facts right before you can be able to buy or sell any security that is listed both on the NSE and any other markets globally. So first off, we're seeing NBV continuing to gain. And I know we spoke about this during the We're Curious podcast last week. And we'll definitely be looking into them and just wondering to what level of engagement we'll have them on. At the same time, we saw Jubilee Holdings, PLC, gain about 21% last week. Jubilee is coming as one of the high-priced stock, the ones that are trading above 100 shillings, that are actually trading and gaining more than 10% in a trading day, you know, so slightly interesting. Jubilee, and for those of you who are wondering, the shareholders for Jubilee approved during the AGM that the company can actually do a share buyback. And so at the moment, we're still waiting for further information about the share buyback program. And in case you're wondering, NMG, which is it's always seen as sort of a related company to Jubilee because of the Aga Khan holdings, which is currently performing a share buyback. And NMG was also among the top gainers last week, being one of the active stocks within the commercial and services sector. So that's one thing as well that we'll definitely be looking into. So a share buyback, just as we mentioned earlier on, really involves where a company would want to buy back its own shares. You know, during the IPO, the company would give you shares. So what happens during a share buyback is that the same company comes into the market and buys these shares from you on the market. So that's a very interesting bit. We're definitely hoping that the performance for the NMG shares would be a sustained rally, because you see, one of the things that we're seeing with NMG is that they would, if they get their 10% earlier, what they're trying to buy, they won't buy back all the shares. Just a disclaimer, they're only buying back a portion. So they're only looking at buying 10%. They're looking at increasing the company's stake by 10%. So 10% of the shares by September will be off market. And according to the statement that was issued by NMG and the partnering companies, that is the partnering broker, the legal advisor, the transaction advisor, what they had actually mentioned was that whichever comes first, if the 10% comes in early, that's well and good. Alternatively, if they get to be able to get whatever percentage that they would be able to get by the time when the offer closes, that is on in September, early September, I think on 10th of September, then they would have to close the offer. So that's one thing that you have to look into as well as an investor. It's actually on 10th of September, which would be on a Friday. If you wanted to sell your NMG shares, this would be a good opportunity. But also one of the things that you have to analyze as an investor is what would be the cost effect after NMG closes the share buyback program. One of them would be that because of whatever the share buyback is going to really cost would be a little bit of illiquidity, which the company has over time really, really experienced. So what we're looking at this time is that we are definitely having the company buying back its own shares. What is likely to happen, number one, is that if the demand continues to sustain for NMG and a few things definitely change with the company, then we're definitely hoping that the company would continue in price action. But then on the other hand, if we don't see if we don't see the same demand that we've had on NMG over a long period of time, then the stock might actually drop in terms of price activity. In recent times, we've seen some stocks really experience a decline because of various corporate actions. The first one would definitely be Scan Group, where Scan Group was trading at prices of about 11, and then they issued the special dividend, and the price went all the way up to above 20. And then what happened was that immediately after the book's closure, then the stock actually plummeted to levels where we're seeing it right now. First of all, on the day of that closure, when the stock went ex-dividend, we saw it come down to about 9 and it's never changed. So those are some of the scenarios that as an investor, you really have to be able to analyze before you can be able to make any trade or any sort of buying or selling on the market. Now, getting in from a stock's perspective, we saw Safaricom continue to dominate the market in terms of activity. Safcom was on the rise, going up about 1.47% during the week to close last week at 41 shillings and 35 cents. That's from 40 shillings and 75 cents where the company actually closed at in the previous week. So Safcom had 1.2 billion worth of shares transacted, an equivalent of about 48% of market activity during the last week. One of the things why Safaricom will continue to lead is because of the liquidity on the exchange, the demand that comes in on the market. And also finally, I'd say the liquidity still really also affects the market cap of the company, which Safaricom still has the largest market capitalization on the exchange. Some of the funny things about market cap is that Safaricom actually has the market cap of Safcom is larger than the market of the market capitalization of the next five stocks combined. Actually, Safcom almost dominates the entire market capitalization of the NSE. And I know that's one thing that as investors, you definitely want to be wondering. You don't want to be able to miss out where if a stock is held on to the risky bit, then what happens next? You see, we're seeing at this bit, and let me give you guys the numbers right. The market capitalization for the NSE as at Friday last week stood at 2.7 trillion. So if the market cap is 2.7 trillion and we are seeing Safaricom dominate in terms of market capitalization to probably about 1.4 trillion, so that's way above 50% of the NSE. So we're really hoping that these are some of the things as an investor you really have to consider. We're really hoping that other companies would come in and probably make that number smaller for Safaricom in the near future. And this would come on either the companies that are listed on the exchange would have to grow, or also on the other hand, we would wait to have listings that would probably perform larger, probably perform better and larger than Safaricom's IPO. We're really hoping that we'd see various companies, as much as they might not have the same market cap as Safaricom, but more listings would also be a good one, because more listings brings in more market capitalization. And we're hoping to get more information as well on how KTDA Holdings will be able to list as well on the NSE when the right time comes. So Safcom was on the gaining streak as well, just about 1% in terms of share price activity to 41 shillings and 35 cents. And that's where it actually opened in today's trading session. And that's one thing that we're going to be looking at as well. So Safcom so far, just checking as well on data through the Hisa app, and we're seeing that Safcom is the highest mover today. Oh, that just changed actually. Safcom is the second highest mover. It's among the top movers, but the volumes are still pretty small. As usual, what I would always advise is that you can always wait on the market and just see how it's likely to perform. Safcom has only moved 2,600 shares, so 26,400 shares. For a company that has close to 40 billion shares on the market, you might really have to just look at it from another angle before you invest. The usual daily average for Safcom would be about 5 million shares or higher. So 26,000 is still pretty small figure on the exchange. Leading in the on the movers list, we're seeing Absa Bank, Kenya PLC, with about 33,500 shares. Oh, and Safaricom is down about 1.55% on the exchange. So definitely that's one thing as well that we have to be able to look at. I'll just give you guys the data as well, both on the demand side and also on the gainer side. I know that's one thing that, on the demand and supply side, I know that's one thing as well that you're definitely looking into and hoping that we'll be able to get that data as well. So looking in onto the Market Watch through the app, the Hisa app, I'm seeing that the total demand on Safaricom currently stands at about 1.03 million, and the supply quantity is about 958,000. So really, you're seeing a lot of guys on the demand side. So a lot of guys are definitely looking on to buying more Safaricom shares. And also we're seeing quite a few guys, few numbers on the supply side. And there's a new change as well. We're seeing Nairobi Business Ventures continue to lead the gainers. NBV is at 11.2. That's 11 shillings and 20 cents. That's about 7.5% higher than where it was. Sorry, it's at 12.05, which was last week it closed at 11.2. So I don't know. I really don't know what's picking up on NBV. it's an interesting bit as well. We'll definitely be able to just have a few looks. On the supply side, we're seeing somebody's offering NBV shares at just only 5,500 shares being offered at 13 shillings and 25, which I believe is the highest that it can go today on the market. Demand side, we're seeing guys bidding as low as 12.30. We'll definitely be watching on just what levels NBV would be able to trade at, and we'll keep you guys on the loop. So if you're looking onto holding NBV, definitely get into the HISA app and just log in. There is the forum section which you can be able to engage other investors as well and just check out what's really happening and what's moving on the market as well. So outside NBV, which was the top gainer last week, we've talked about Jubilee, which was the second gainer last week, about gaining about 21% on the market. So on the loser side, we're seeing Crown Paints Kenya PLC top the decline, about 10.2% on the market. Liberty Kenya Holdings PLC was on the second, declining about 9.4% on the exchange. And we're seeing it all down. We're seeing EGAD Limited down about 9.4%. BOC Kenya, I know these are things. And finally, we're seeing Uganda's Umeme also fall on the declining bit, coming in about, shedding about 7.67% on the decline. Very interesting. I think one of these days, what we can actually do is, when we're actually discussing about the energy sector, one of the things that we definitely need to look at next time is to just have a discussion on Umeme, because I think Umeme is quite an important player on East Africa space. It's a small company, Uganda's largest electricity distributor, but then it's a very interesting bit. They posted a decline in their profits over the past financial year, but we've seen Umeme literally have gained quite a little bit in terms of trading over the past, in terms of profits over the past few years. So in 2019, 2018, all the way back to 2016. Yes, the 2020 financial year was not good for most companies, mostly because of the decline. The overall performance of the global economy might have in one way really affected some of these companies that we're seeing. So one of the things that we're looking at will definitely be onto the performance of these various stocks on the exchange. As I told you guys, we'll be mentioning about the commercial services sector. We'll mention about Nation Media. But starting off with the banking sector, is last week we saw Equity Group really come in. I'd say it came in quite fair in terms of performance. The total banking activity on the exchange was about 31.7% of the market activity. So you're seeing what we had mentioned earlier on, where I mentioned that Safaricom trades about 47% of the total market activity. And the banking sector combined only trades about 31.7%. So you're seeing that sense where we need to have more companies that actually would be able to either reduce the activity or match the levels of activity which Safaricom usually gains, achieves on the exchange. On the banking bit, we saw Equity Group Holdings up about, was trading roughly about, at about 46.70. That's 46 shillings and 70 cents. I think Equity Group has really gained on the exchange over the past few years. And I know that's one thing that as an investor, we definitely would be looking into that over time. You might want to ask yourself what levels of activity we definitely have in an equity. On the market, how the market has opened, Equity Group is down about 1.1%, about 1.07 to be precise. We're seeing bids on equity at about 46 shillings and 20 cents. And the supply side, we're seeing at 46 shillings and 60 cents. So supply is still pretty much low. Demand on the other side is about 337,500. And bids on the supply on the other end is about 115,000. on the exchange, something that's very interesting as well on the market. So equity group is something that we definitely be looking into as well, and just seeing the overall performance of that counter as stocks move within a few weeks of trading on the market. One thing that I would definitely want to mention before we move would be I&M Holdings Limited. Sorry, they changed their name last week, by the way, to I&M Group PLC. So we no longer have I&M Holdings PLC, but we now have I&M Group PLC. And I know that was approved by the shareholders during the annual general meeting for the bank. I&M is up about 1.6%. I think I&M really has good prospects on the exchange. And there was news last week where I&M, under the subsidiary I&M Capital, they introduced a new management and advisory business where their main target would definitely be on the high net worth clients. This is in a bid for the company to diversify the NFI, the non-funded income portfolio, which will definitely come in quite, I think, very good, because they're looking on to investing not only locally, but also investing in offshore markets. And this is with a collaboration of with Bank One Mauritius, which is a shareholding company as well for I&M Group. So that's something that I know we definitely be looking into, and just hoping that as an investor, as a shareholder, if you're buying into I&M today, these are some of the things you need to be able to look into over the next financial year, or even over the next, when they release, the half year is gone, but when they release their Q3, when they release their full year results, you can start looking if there's a growth in the NFI. How is this likely to impact you as a shareholder? I&M currently is trading at about, it's traded today at about 1.6% higher. It's traded about at 21 shillings and 90 cents. So looks like the activity is still overall around 21.90. And that's one thing that I know definitely would be looking into. Now, we spoke about, we had already mentioned about a lot of activity, but now I'm just seeing this morning, there's news about Safaricom inviting the shareholders for the annual general meeting. So I definitely believe this is one thing as well that you'd be looking into. Some of the bits that I think the ordinary business is as usual, where you come in, they read the financial statements, you approve as a shareholder, the directors, and everything else. But the special business, one thing that I think is really important, that as a shareholder, why you really need to attend, is I'm seeing that you've actually been told is there definitely be more information onto the entrance of Safaricom and the Vodafone family. Let me just get their name. Yeah, the Voda family Ethiopia. You know, so it's not the Vodacom or the Vodafone, but they're calling themselves the Voda family in Ethiopia, which is a holding company of the Global Partnership for Ethiopia. And I know that's one thing that we'll definitely be looking into. As a shareholder, I think it's important for you to attend some of these AGMs, not some, all the AGMs. As I always say, you missing the AGM is like you missing to go through your child's report card. You've been called in to go for Parents' Day meeting and you're missing it out. When the financial statements come out, one of the reasons you have to read them is because these are like the performance of your investment. If you had a business and you've been given a bank statement, you have to go through it and just see if you've been overcharged onto something or you've been undercharged onto something, you know. So these are some of the things that as an individual, you really have to look into as well on the market. And so you definitely need to be looking into your postal address, onto your phone number, because I know some of this information will be shared further through those channels by the registrar as well. On the real estate bit, finally, just as we look into local markets before we look further into what's happening beyond the Kenyan space, is we're seeing Centum Real Estate, actually a subsidiary of Centum Investment Company PLC, released their results as well last week. And the results indicated that Centum had posted about a 71.7% drop in net profit for the financial year ended 31st March 2021, the main reason why, according to the company, the decline in profits was mainly because of the reduced demand in residential units. That is also added over to with the pandemic that hit during the financial year. Most of the bit of COVID for Kenya was felt from between March 2020, and it's still continuing. I won't actually say it's come to a close because we're still seeing most of the financial sectors, services industry, we're seeing most across bit, across board, we're seeing some of them still facing a little bit of a decline. And so that's one thing that we definitely hope would change. On the good bit, we're seeing customer deposits, and these are liabilities really for the rental units, actually increased about 20% to about 1.8 billion from 1.5 billion recorded over from the previous year. That's in 2019. That's for the year that ended on 31st March 2020. Because what we're looking at would be the year that ended on 31st March 2021. So still, I think that there's still a bit of positive edge on Centum Real Estate. Remember that what affects the Centum Real Estate would directly or indirectly affect you as a shareholder for Centum Investment, which is the parent company of Centum Real Estate PLC. So I believe that's it. A few taxes have come in that are aimed at getting the environmental segment, but these are likely to hit you for if you're a developer on the real estate segment. And this is likely to affect companies such as companies that are still probably going to groundbreaking programs like Centum, the real estate wing, and also other companies as well. Companies like Cyton possibly would definitely have a hit as well on the new taxes that are coming into play. So developing a building is not going to be a few taxes coming in. We know, I wouldn't want to say that we are against taxes, but our government is always looking into one way of taxing you, and they've definitely found a few areas where they can be able to hit. This is a tax that was actually that was removed in 2017. So looks like it's back, and that's one thing as well that we definitely be looking into. We'll be able to watch that, and we'll just let you know. Now, looking at it now from the global front, what's really happening on global markets? And one of the reasons why we have to look into global markets is because trading on HISA, which is coming in very, very soon. I know we've said very soon for a very long time. Since about April, we've been telling you very soon. We are on that last bit, getting in touch with regulators and just finishing up and looking that the trading experience is definitely going to be seamless. Global markets are coming in with the HISA app, and you definitely don't want to miss out on that bit. I'll just give you guys a few heads up, and we'll start a little bit with the tech side. We're seeing, first of all, over the weekend, we saw Apple and Intel Corporation. It's not Apple and Intel. It's actually TSMC, which is Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, one of the largest semiconductor manufacturing companies in the world, said that their latest chip would be used by Apple and Intel. They would be the first companies to test. So while we know that the rollout will definitely go out to a lot of other companies later on, but Apple and Intel are becoming the first companies to actually get access to the latest chip production. That would be earlier next year. We'll definitely be looking onto that. And we're hoping that we'd see just what level Intel would be able to trade on as well over the next few weeks as well. So that's one thing we definitely be looking into. As an investor, one of the things that you also have to look at as well is earlier on the overall performance. Now, looking at it from just an overall performance of the exchange, we saw major indices have continued to gain over time. We're seeing the S&P 500 close on Friday with a seventh straight record high. So 7 days of trading, 7 weeks of trading, 7 days, 7 weeks of trading, and the S&P 500 continued to close at new highs, which I think is one thing that we are looking into. So as an investor, the S&P 500, just the same way we looked onto the benchmarks, the S&P 500 is usually considered as an overall index gauge. While it doesn't really encompass the entire market, unlike the NSE, where we have a small number of companies. In most of these global markets, if you look at US, India, you'd get that, and even Japan, you'd see that some of these companies that are listed are way above 2,000. You can't have a general mood for the market for all of them. So we have various indices that usually just focus on specific segments, and some of them are like the Dow Jones. We know the S&P 500 in the US. We also seeing also some of the things that we'll be looking at. If you go east, you'd see some like the Nikkei N225, that's in Japan, the Sensex index, that's in India. So it's all a lot. The topics index also coming in as well. So you have to understand some of these markets before you invest in them. So the S&P 500, which is seen as the benchmark for markets in the US, was actually on the gain during the week, and I think it's something interesting. Personally, for me, we're seeing tech stocks really continue to gain. Some of the stocks that were also performing as well would be some like Boeing, the airplane manufacturer. It's always weird, and it's one of those companies that I'm always constantly trying to watch and just seeing, because if there's a change in the global aviation industry, then likely we're most hopefully to see companies like Airbus, SE. There's a company that's trading now in European markets, and also we definitely be looking onto Boeing, other companies that are very interesting as well that we don't get to see more often or hear about would be like Rolls-Royce, and we're also definitely hoping to look into it's a weird company. It's a smaller company. It's not really small, but there's a way. I'll personally have a lot of interest in Lockheed Martin, and we definitely I'm personally looking into it. So you can actually share your thoughts through the HISA platform and just tell me what are your thoughts towards Lockheed Martin. Something interesting this week is we're talking about, and we mentioned this through the when we gave the HISA newsletter, and we saw Virgin Galactic last week. That's the company that is owned by Richard Branson, and we're seeing Blue Origin, which is a company that's owned by Jeff Bezos. So we're here, we're seeing that Bezos and Branson are actually planning to fly. Sorry, you say fly when somebody's in a rocket, really, but they're competing. They're having the head-to-head to go to space, become the first billionaires, dollar billionaires, to go into space. We're seeing Virgin Galactic will be able. So Richard Branson would definitely do that first, because he's doing that this coming weekend on Sunday next week. On Sunday this week, sorry, next week. Yeah, Sunday this week was yesterday. Really, depending on which calendar you're using. If Sunday is the first day of the week or Sunday is the last day of the week, that also depends on that. So he'd be going in through the Virgin Galactic, and also we're seeing about 11 days later, we'll see Bezos also take into the Blue Origin and just go way, way above the limits that Richard Branson would be. So Richard Branson, and what we said on the HISA newsletter today, is that Branson would definitely become the first person, the first billionaire to go into space, but then Bezos might scale much higher. One of the things that we are definitely looking into as well would be a few developments on the aeronautical aspect. Which companies are performing? Which companies are these that are looking into going into generally outside the atmosphere? So if you want to trade, I know some companies that you might be able to look into would be, I know everybody's looking at Teslas. While Teslas don't create rockets, but the EV industry still pretty wide. We mentioned about that as well during the last podcast where we talked about EV mobility in Rwanda and also developments in Tanzania. So you might go into the podcast section and just listen through, seeing what's likely to happen. So on the global aspect, one of the things that we'll also that we're looking at as well, and how the general of weekly activity last week was, there's a special company that I have to mention, is Didi. So Didi Global Inc. Listed on the NYSE on Friday, becoming the second company to list, the second largest Chinese company to list on the NYSE after Alibaba. They raised about $4.4 billion during the IPO, something that was very successful. But just a few days into that bit, we saw China actually ordering Didi to remove their apps from both. They ordered actually mobile app stores to remove Didi because they're saying that Didi had actually collected data from the users without their permission. So data still becomes a very key item for most organizations globally. And China, as much as we know China, and it's everywhere, that China would definitely be there to monitor almost all of its citizens. They never really open to allowing other companies. So that's where the communist bit comes in onto China. So Didi is currently not available until probably, we hope that they'll be able to get all this regulated, the regulations bit with the Chinese Cyberspace Administration, get into change a few of these things that are happening as well on the market, because we're really hoping that Didi would definitely get a little bit of a push as well from the exchange. So pretty much interesting. We'll definitely be looking onto a lot more aspects as well from the market. As we plan to get to HissaTrade, please start familiarizing yourself with a bit of markets and what's likely to happen, mostly on the global aspect, because this is a space that most of us have not been able to invest in locally, but we're hoping that this becomes a reality in the next few days, the next few weeks. So I believe that's it for me today. I believe that's it for everybody else from the HISA team. Thank you all for joining in today's session. Definitely catch us up again on Wednesday as we talk about the Bulls, Bears and Whiskey event over the coming week.